live from across America and around the world, it's the Voice of Reason. If you're tired of people telling you what the Bible says, wouldn't you like to know what it means? Lighthouse World Ministries presents A Voice of Reason with your host, John Anderson. Join John and his guest as they will bring the scriptures alive. Come, let us reason together. And now, your host, John Anderson.
Welcome back to the Voice of Reason, hour number four of a four-hour stretch. I'm John Anderson, your host, and it's certainly a pleasure to be with you on this Sunday evening. It's been quite an exciting program so far. Brian McLaren, our guest on hour number one, Claire Chandler, Immortalizing Evil, hour number two, Stan Jantz, World of Religions and Cults, on hour number three, and Lord Dale has been kind enough to join us on hour number four, and I thought this evening we would revisit this bottomless pit because Lord spoke on it at our conference that we just finished yesterday. And I'm one tired puppy, but I'm also thrilled to be with you because to me this is what it's all about. It's continuing to have the faithfulness to bring forth the truth of God's Word. Lord, it's great to have you with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, John, and it's great to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity of being on the program, and certainly it was a great conference we had, wasn't it?
Man, what an exciting time. People from all over this country, even Canada, coming in, I've used this analogy before, but it was like a family reunion, you know, of people.
Yes, it was. It's just incredible to see people gathered together from Washington to Florida to just about everywhere in between and all around the country.
One of the areas, and Stan Jantz and I were talking about this in the third hour, you know, religions and cults and the idea. And, you know, I get in trouble a lot with a lot of the comments I make, Lloyd, I don't know. But, you know, to me, we have a problem from one respect because everybody out there in the world, really, believes they're right in whatever it is they believe. Okay, because the point is, nobody wakes up some morning and says, I'm going to find a good lie to believe today.
That's right, John, and it's a double-edged sword in a sense, because really you want people to think what they believe is right, but unfortunately if what they happen to believe is wrong, they still have that same feeling about it that they believe it's right, and this creates problems for them and others as well.
Now, I'm going to get in trouble probably with this, however, every denomination that I know of out there in, quote, Christianity, Lloyd, believes that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and directing them. How would you handle that? Because, let's face it, not everybody is on the same page, Lloyd.
Well, that's a real struggle, John. If the Holy Spirit is truly out there guiding and helping us, then the only answer to this confusion that exists in the church is that we're not listening very well. And, of course, the other possibility, which some of us don't like to consider at least, is the idea that the Holy Spirit was given for that period of time in the first century, and from that point on we're supposed to respond to the living Word of God, which to me makes a lot more sense, because if we have the living Word of God, then if we're really willing to commit ourselves to the time and effort to study it, we will eventually come up with the truth contained therein. But if we just kind of go along with whatever people are telling us and then try to pass that along to the next person by what we were told, then we develop traditions that, you know, just carry on down family after family after family, generation after generation in any individual church, and may or may not be true.
And that is something that is a very hard pill, as you well know, Lloyd Dale, for people to swallow, because no one really ever wants to be wrong. We're going to lead up, and we're going to be talking about the bottomless pit this evening. Lloyd spoke about it at our conference, and we're going to kind of bring some areas together that hopefully will make a lot of sense. I'm John Anderson. This is the Voice of Reason, hour number four of a four-hour stretch. Lloyd Dale is our guest, and we're going to continue right after this. See you on the other side.
United States Pharmacopoeia, USP, sets the standard for most food supplements and are used in over 95% of all vitamin and mineral supplements in the world. The problem is that these products have never appeared in any living tissue. They're created in laboratories and are not recognizable to the body's metabolism. Grown by Nature products are different because they use renatured ingredients, proprietary blends of essential vitamins and minerals, with cofactors of proteins, lipids, and complex carbohydrates. Over 50 studies have been conducted on renatured nutrients, and over 20 have been published in peer-reviewed journals proclaiming their superiority. As a result, Grown by Nature vitamins and supplements are now recognized as simply the best available. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and order your Grown by Nature products today. We are what we eat, and since we are of nature, we should eat foods in their natural form. Only Grown by Nature offers a full line of renatured nutrients. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, because not all products are grown by nature, but they should be.
Gas prices are out of control. You drive up to the pump only to find that the price per gallon is up once again. If you want to save money at the pump and get back in the driver's seat, then listen closely. There is now a way to save up to 30% or more on your fuel bill using the MPG cap. The MPG cap is a capsule that looks like a vitamin that you simply drop into your gas tank. It's organic, non-toxic, EPA approved, and can drastically reduce fuel emissions. People all across the nation are reporting improved performance as well as the money saving increases in their gas mileage by using our MPG caps. MPG caps are designed for use in all gasoline or diesel powered engines. And you can also have a lucrative home-based business by simply sharing this amazing money saving product with others. Don't wait. Call MPG Biz now at 800-526-1778. That's 800-526-1778. Or visit the webpage at mpgbiz.com. That's mpgbiz.com.
For months now, you've been hearing about the incredible health benefits of Zango, the functional health beverage made from the whole fruit of mangosteen. What you probably didn't know is that Zango joined forces with the leading manufacturer and distributor of functional health beverages like Capri Sun, Sobe, Mystic, and Red Bull to create the fastest growing business opportunity in America today. Are you sick of barely having enough money? Are you tired of working so hard yet feeling like you'll never get ahead? Are you ready to start investing in your own business instead of somebody else's? Whatever it is you seek, Zango could be the special company that helps you achieve your hopes and dreams. So take matters into your own hands. Create a future that doesn't depend on a fickle 401k and lateral promotions. Zango is what you are looking for. Find out more by calling 888-203-6633 or visit mangosteenmarket.com. That's M-A-N-G-O-S-T-E-E-N market.com. Call 888-203-6633 today.
Welcome back to the Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host, coming to you live across America and around the world. It's a pleasure to be with you on this Sunday evening. Just finished up our conference number 5. It's hard to believe we've been doing this, our broadcast, the Voice of Reason, for 5 years, and now we've had our 5th conference. Exciting time, pleasurable time. Lloyd Dale and I are going to be talking about the bottomless pit a little bit, but I'm doing some laying some groundwork for this, Lloyd, and you know, at times I'm accused of being controversial.
Yes.
Well, it's not that I just want to be, but I have a lot of questions. And that's why, you know, this issue that we talked about right before the break, you know, that every Christian out there, every denomination out there, believes that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding them. Now, I'm going to take us back to that first century for just a moment, when the, quote, Holy Spirit was very active from Pentecost for a few decades. Now, during that period of time, I find a very interesting statement that Paul said to Timothy. Now, he didn't say, Timothy, you see that shade tree over there? I want you to go sit down, relax, put your head back, and before long, the Holy Spirit's going to come by and tell you everything you need to know. He said to young Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, one rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if Paul said that then, how much more would that apply to us today, Lloyd?
Well, it would seem to me like it would apply exponentially, because if Timothy, there in the first century, experiencing the things that was going on, knowing Paul personally and others, was required to study to show himself approved and workman unto God, then certainly we today are also required to study to show ourselves approved and workman unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I really think that's a major problem, John. I think there's a lot of Christians, even including myself and others I know, at times at least, that don't really study very much. Now, sometimes some of us may study a great deal, but there are others that seem to study very little. And you know, one of the things that struck me years ago is I went to a Sunday school class when I was a young married man, and these people were in there discussing things. About 20 years later, my wife and I happened to return to that same Sunday school class, and the same people were sitting there discussing the same things and stumbling over the same questions. And it just struck me, there's something radically wrong here. And this was supposedly a really good, strong, Bible-believing church.
Led by the Holy Spirit.
Yep. I just need to get in there and start studying and quit stumbling over these questions.
And that's what kind of leads me into our topic, which you spoke on at the conference. We've done programs on this before. But you mentioned something at the conference in your talk on the bottomless pit, that if we understand it, and you had studied Revelation for years, and trying to understand it and going through it, and then one day you finally realized this issue on the bottomless pit that was kind of the key, if you will, that opened up the book of Revelation.
Well, that's right, John. There's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation, and this bottomless pit is the central theme in chapters 9, chapter 11, chapter 17, and chapter 20. Now, that's approximately one quarter of the book of Revelation depends on the proper understanding. The understanding of the book of Revelation depends on the understanding of the abyss. If we miss out on what we think the abyss is, then we're going to have a misunderstanding, misinterpretation of a major portion of those four chapters. And, of course, maybe several other chapters that interrelate there as well.
Now, you and I and others have sat around since the conference and have had an opportunity to fellowship and talk. And it's interesting to me, as we look at the book of Revelation, for years and years, many in the church didn't even believe that the book of Revelation should be in the Bible. It was rejected, as you well know, by many. But yet, here we are in the 21st century, and I would say in the latter 19th century, certainly the 20th century it exploded, and even now, it has become, Lloyd, as you well know, the most popular book in the Bible.
Yes, John, it is. It's amazing that it's incredibly popular, and yet there are still those that are saying that it doesn't belong in the Bible. Now, somewhere between those two situations lies the truth. And, of course, I know that's what you think, and that's what I think as well, that we're willing to go wherever the Bible leads us. What we really want to know is the truth. We're not stuck in any paradigm. We're not stuck with any particular orthodoxy, if we want to use that term. But we really genuinely want to understand what the Bible actually teaches. And therein, you know, comes our study. We're searching for truth. And when we find something that we believe to be truth, we'll share it with others around us. And if we're sharing something that's not true, then it's the responsibility of the brethren to step up, take their Bibles, and demonstrate to us from clear, sound, biblical presentation why we're wrong. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. I've asked a lot of people now about this abyss in Revelations 9, 11, 17, and 20. In fact, just recently I asked one of the best Bible students I know what his take on the abyss was, and he stopped and looked at me a little bit, and he says, you know, now that's a good question. And I know that this particular individual has studied Revelation quite a lot, and it's a very important book to him. And yet his response there, after he made the statement, that's a good question, he followed up that with, you know, I really never have dug into that at all. It just seems like it's kind of the Hadean realm. You know, in my mind, I didn't say anything to him, but my mind, oh, what in the world is the Hadean realm? I know that's a popular term out there, but You know, I doubt really if they can find a truly biblical definition for that term, and I know that it's the actual term Hadean realm is not a biblical term. So, you know, that gives me some real concern when people see four chapters dealing with this, and yet in their study of Revelation, they never really try to come to any good understanding of what this abyss, bottomless pit, might be.
Well, as you know, Lloyd, there are a lot of varied ideas out there, and some of the more, quote, modern interpretations of that. I know Hal Lindsey says the bottomless pit, that's the abode of demons, and they're going to come out of this, quote, bottomless pit, if you will, and wreak havoc on the world. And then another instance, we have an individual saying, well, those are helicopters. You know? And I'm going, where in the world could we get the idea, if you will, that, number one, that it's demons coming out, or even, and I'm sorry, Lord, but helicopters, for Pete's sake.
Yeah. I mean, it's really strange. You know, we hear over and over again that everybody recognizes that there's some metaphor and some symbolism in Revelation. And, of course, those that have spent a little bit more time studying and have come to the understanding of covenant eschatology, they understand that there's a lot of symbolism and metaphor in the book of Revelation. In fact, it's many times said that there's more of this, more reference and more quote, an allusion to the Old Testament, the book of Revelation, than any other book in the New Testament. And that's probably true. And so it seems to me that if we're going to try to understand the various metaphors used in the New Testament, especially in the book of Revelation, then we ought to go to the Old Testament and see what the basis for these metaphors are.
Well, that within itself, Lloyd, I personally believe is the problem, because I know I was very guilty of this as a young Christian. I majored in the, quote, New Testament. I kept reading it over and over and over, because every time I think about this Old Testament, these books here, they were laborious, if you will, et cetera, and so on, and I just kind of stayed away from it. And then, at one point, I came to realize, if I was ever going to understand the New Testament, then I had to spend a serious amount of time in the Old Testament, and that kind of leads us to your point.
Well, that's right, and I've known many preachers that in their lifetime of preaching will go from Matthew to Jude, and go back to Matthew, back to Jude again, and, you know, they circulate between those two positions there, between Matthew and Jude and all the various letters and books that are within that context, but they seem to persistently avoid Revelation and the Old Testament. And, of course, I think therein lies a major problem, that they need to get into the Old Testament. We need to understand the Old Testament, and so many don't. And I think that's really a legacy handed down to us from second century Greeks, because they approached the New Testament from strictly a New Testament perspective. Most of them weren't really cognizant of the Old Testament. It wasn't as readily available to them as it is to us today. And so, in large, much of the theology that's been handed down through the church from the second century onward has been strictly developed from the New Testament. In fact, you'll hear in certain circles they're very, very proud that they're a New Testament church. And, it may be okay to be a New Testament church, but we hadn't ought to be ignorant of the Old Testament while we're at it. And unfortunately, that seems to be too often the case.
Well, it's said on a regular basis, as you well know, that the New Testament is contained in the Old, and it's basically revealing what's in the Old Testament, but yet we don't know what was there, so how can we really know what is being revealed, Lloyd?
That's the point. That exactly sums it up.
Now, you made a point, and we're getting ready to come up to our next commercial break, but you told me, as you shared at the conference, that you went through Revelation many times, almost to the point of getting up, because it just wasn't making any sense. And when we come back from our break, let's start with that key that happened, this epiphany, if you will, to you, that caused you to start looking at it in a whole different way.
Okay, John.
I'm John Anderson. This is the Voice of Reason. Lloyd Dale is my guest, and we're going to be dealing or revisiting, quote, the bottomless pit when we come back. See you in a minute.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Create the Dream, the magazine for everyone who has a dream of making artisan quality soaps, candles, and herbal products, whether as a hobbyist or an aspiring small business owner. Create the Dream provides a wealth of innovative solutions and original ideas that will propel your craft to the next level. It's the ultimate insider's guide featuring comprehensive coverage of the topics affecting the industry. Create the Dream inspires and challenges readers and offers recipes, techniques, tips, and sources in every full-color issue. Create the Dream. Dream Magazine is published quarterly and features 64 full-color pages with insightful articles and stunning product photography. Give yourself the gift of creativity. Subscribe today to Create the Dream Magazine at createthedream.com. Plus, as a GCN listener, you'll save 10% off the subscription price. Just type Genesis, that's G-E-N-E-S-I-S, in the voucher area of your order page. Again, the website is www.createthedream.com. Create the Dream is a division of the Creative Concepts.
Welcome back to The Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host, coming to you live across America and around the world. It's a pleasure to be with you on this Sunday evening. Laura Dale is our guest, and this hour we're going to be revisiting the bottomless pit. But, Lloyd, before we dive into the bottomless pit figuratively here, let people know how to get a hold of you, your email address.
All right, if they want to get a hold of Lloyd Dale, they can do so at barldranch@sdplains.com. Spelled out all in small case letters. That's barldranch@sdplains.com. Barldranch@sdplains.com.
Okay, folks. Now, I know a lot of you and several of you commented on the to me at the conference how you've been listening to the series that Lloyd and I have been doing on Hosea. And we are going to continue on that, just not tonight. All right? So I want to let you know we haven't forgotten about it. But I thought this was a lot of people really enjoyed your talk on this issue of the bottomless pit. And now I want to get to this point, Lloyd, that there was an epiphany that you personally had, having studied the book of Revelation for a long time, and it was just not coming together or making any sense. But one day something happened, and I think that would be a great starting point.
All right. Well, like you said, I had been studying the book of Revelation for years, not directly all the time, but off and on. And in my situation that I was in as a leader in the church I was in, from, you know, Sunday school teacher to deacon to lay pastor to pastor, and through my education efforts there, oftentimes we'd meet people that want to study the book of Revelation, and we'd discuss it, and occasionally we'd even attempt to study it together a little bit and things like that, but it just never seemed to make much sense to me. And one of the big stumbling blocks was always, what in the world is this abyss? It just didn't make sense to me that this abyss could be the abode of demons. It wasn't hell. If it had been, then it just said that. And it was clearly a symbol for something. But what is this something? And one day I was walking through my living room, and there was a new magazine laying there that had just come in the mail the day before, and I'd taken it and laid it down on the coffee table there, upside down, and as I walked through the room, my eye fell on that, and focused right in the middle of the page was highlighted one verse of Scripture. And I stopped and read that verse of Scripture, and I said, oh my goodness. And I looked at that and read it again, and then I went and checked out what I thought I saw there, and sure enough, that's what it was. Okay, now that verse of Scripture happened to be Psalms 36:6. And the part that really caught my attention is where there in the middle of the verse, speaking about God, says, O Lord, thy judgments are as a great abyss. As an abyss. Right there was the word, because I'd already learned, you know, the bottomless pit, a better translation for the word abyssos in the New Testament, is abyss, which is a transliteration of that actual Greek word. And so, here I see it, right there. And I thought, man, that's incredible. The judgments of God are as a great abyss. And here we have in the Old Testament a clear metaphor referencing the judgments of God as this abyss, this bottomless pit. And so I checked a couple things out. The Hebrew word there is tehomi, and I wanted to know how the rabbis translated that Hebrew word into the Greek when they translated the Hebrew into the Greek text back about 200 years before the birth of Christ. And sure enough, the word that they translated Tehomi with was abyssos, abyssos. And so there I knew that I was on to something, and I went and got my Bible and began to study the book of Revelation with that in mind, and discovered that in the New Testament, we're clearly talking about a special judgment that Jesus Christ has said is soon going to come upon Jerusalem. And as I began to compare those notes, I noticed a startling thing, John. In Revelation 9, where we find the first use of this word in Revelation, there was an incredible connection, at least to me. And so, as I continue to study, I see that that connection continued to bear fruit.
When we come back off of this bottom of the hour break, we're going to continue this because, folks, Lord made a statement that if you understand the bottomless pit, it is the key to understanding the book of Revelation. When we come back, we'll get into that and a whole lot more. I'm John Anderson. This is the Voice of Reason. Hang tight, folks. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you for listening to GCN. The the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms could be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. BioSolutions has over 550 programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Ask about our spring special now in progress. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
When my son started having behavior problems, the Total Transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Do you need an instruction manual for your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance and backtalking. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Welcome back to the Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host, coming to you live across America and around the world. It's a pleasure to be with you on this Sunday evening. Hour number four, before our stretch, bottom of the hour, Lloyd Dale is with us. We're revisiting the bottomless pit. And Lloyd, one of the, you know, you're talking about this verse of scripture of Psalm 36:6, God's judgment is a great deed. One of the keys right up front, when we look at Revelation, the entire book, really, not the entire book, but almost the entire book, is about judgment.
Well, that's right. And especially we see in 17 verse 1 where the messenger tells John, come and I will show you the judgment of the whore. And then the chapter ends with the destruction of that very whore. So see, in that context, in 17, this bottomless pit, or the abyss, is a very, very important part of the subject context there, as it is in chapter 9. And, of course, in Psalms 36, we have four metaphors used describing God in various capacities. And the one that we're focusing on here is the metaphor used to describe his judgments as an abyss. Okay, so if God's judgment is taking place somewhere here in Revelation, and Jesus Christ said that that judgment was going to come on Jerusalem in Judea, then Judea is the land, and we have a very interesting concept then develops out of chapter 9, because it begins, and the fifth messenger sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the land. And to him, the star, was given the key of the bottomless pit. We read in English. Now, in the Greek, there's two words there. Abyssos, phrear. Okay, so there's the bottomless pit is a rendering of those two words. And that tells us something very important, that this is not just one entity as it appears to us in the bottomless pit. And I've discovered another translation that makes more sense, and that is the shaft of the abyss. And so in that context, then, we look at that and go to the second verse, and it says, he opened the shaft to the abyss, and there rose a smoke out of the pit. Okay, so the angel fell to the land, and he opened the shaft to the abyss. Well, now, where is the shaft to the abyss? It's in the land. That's where the messenger fell to. That's where the star fell to. And so the star that was given the key to the abyss was in the land where judgment was going to take place. Therefore, the abyss is the land of Judea, and the shaft that leads to it is the land of Galilee. Because if you're going to go from somewhere, especially anywhere to the north, northwest, northeast, and get into Jerusalem, you went down through Galilee and into Judea and to Jerusalem. Okay, so this is exactly what we have pictured here as we read this passage of Scripture, because when he opened the shaft to the abyss, it's a declaration that this star, who we clearly see a little bit later in chapter 9, is the commander of the army that's entered Judea to bring judgment. And so we see now that we've got a clear picture of the abyss being the land of Judea, the shaft leading to it is the land of Galilee, and the descriptive metaphor here is the judgment that's beginning in Judea, Jerusalem, and Galilee as a result of this star coming to the land. And using the key, which is the war power, to begin the judgment of the land. And now we're taking that concept as we work our way through the rest of the chapters of the book of Revelation where this abyss is. We see in 9, 11, 17, and 20, this works out very consistently, very accurately, and gives us a clear presentation of what's going on in the land of Judea in the first century between mid 68 AD through 70 AD.
Now, not only is it important to have a working knowledge of the Old Testament, Lloyd, but apparently a working knowledge of history and what was actually getting ready to transpire and what, based on the story of Josephus and actual physical facts of what isn't there now, is important to understand it as well, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, because without history, we won't have the connections. Without the Old Testament, we don't have the connections that the people of the first century had. They were living in that time, and they were, many of the people involved here were Jews. Of course, people in the land were. They had the connection to Old Testament. And even out among the world, the New Testament tells us that there was a synagogue in every city in the Roman Empire. So many Gentiles had become God-fearers. They had begun attending the Jewish synagogue in search of information about God. And so, contrary to sometimes what knowledge is put out, there was a lot of knowledge about the Old Testament in the Roman Empire. And the Apostle Paul even told some folks that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they studied the Scriptures on a daily basis to determine if these things were true. Now, the Scriptures, the only Scriptures that these people would have had to study, and remember, the Bereans and Thessalonians were both Gentile peoples, were the Old Testament Scriptures. And they were studying the Old Testament Scriptures to see whether the things Paul was telling them was true or not. And, you know, that's been overlooked in Christianity way too much. We need to go into the Old Testament and see the metaphors, the symbols, the language, and so on and so forth. I heard part of your program with Brian McLaren tonight, and I noticed that you were talking to him about that some as well, that he'd seen that part of the problem was that we need more information out of the Old Testament to understand some of the genre and apocalyptic language and other things that are used in certain places in the New Testament. And, of course, that's what we're doing here. We're going back to the Old Testament. We're using an actual metaphor that David the psalmist, the prophet of God, gave us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and applying it to the metaphor that John uses here, describing the judgment that's beginning to take place in the land of Judea and Galilee, and particularly in the city, on the city of Jerusalem.
Okay, Lloyd, walk us through, if you will, the idea, because there's a lot of things that it talks about, that smoke is going to come out of the bottomless pit, and all of these things are going to be transpiring. Kind of put some shoe leather on it for us and kind of walk us through that.
All right, so we look at this verse, verse 2 of chapter 9, it says, "And he," that's the star, who we learn in verse 11, I believe it is the commander of the army. Yes, verse 11, he's the commander of the army that's there. And so we go back into the Old Testament. We learn from a couple different places in the Old Testament that locusts are used as a metaphor for advancing armies. And so we see here in Revelation 9:2 that he opened the shaft of the abyss, and there rose a smoke out of the shaft as the smoke of a great furnace. Well, now, with a little knowledge of history, we can go back and see that when Vespasian came into Judea to prosecute the war against the Jews, he began in the northern parts of Galilee. And he captured a city and burned it. Captured another city and burned it. And as these cities were burning from the vantage point of the seer in Jerusalem, the smoke was rising out of the shaft of the pit as a great furnace. And the smoke of the sun, you know, the smoke was so dense that the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke from the shaft of the abyss. Now, at the conference, I told a little story about as my wife and I were driving down to North Carolina for the conference. We were approaching a town somewhere up in the Midwest, and we noticed this huge plume of smoke coming up out of that town, just darkening the sky and, you know, even clouding it over so the sun didn't shine very good if you got that cloud between you and the sun. And we really were curious, what is this smoke? What's going on there? And as we drove through town, it turned out that the smoke was coming from a trailer house fire and a little trailer court there just a half a block off the highway. And all of this smoke was coming out of that one trailer house that was burning. And it was hardly recognizable anymore as a trailer house. Now just imagine, you got a picture of an army invading a country, and they've approached one city, they've captured it and then burned it, they approached another city, captured it and burned it. You got city after city burning, the smoke rising up. Imagine the amount of smoke that would be. You see how descriptive this is of that? The smoke out of the abyss is the smoke of a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke from the shaft. All right, so he goes on in verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts. Well, okay, going back to the Old Testament, locusts represent the troops of an army, in particular foot soldiers. And so it makes perfect sense that John would use the same metaphor here. So these locusts represent foot soldiers, and what army is descending on Judea and Jerusalem beginning in Galilee there in the first century? Of course, it's the Roman army. So these locusts are the soldiers of the Roman army that are now in the land of Judea. So it says they're locusts upon the land, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the land have power. So that tells us that there's another side to this war. The locusts are the Roman troops. The scorpions are the troops from the land itself. These, of course, were the Jewish zealots. And so when the war power, you know, the war authority is enacted, these Roman troops had power to execute war in the land of Judea, and the zealots had already started that war with their activities. So they were there, and that's what this passage is telling. The locusts represent the Roman army. The scorpions represent the Jewish army, the zealots. And it goes on down there. And the locusts were commanded not to hurt the grass and the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, and so on and so forth. But only those men would have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Okay, so here we see that the army is given orders to not do certain things, and it was very interesting that as Vespasian approached that war, when Nero died, word came to Vespasian that the emperor was dead, and he put the war in abeyance. Gave the orders to the troops to hold still, don't move, don't advance, don't prosecute the war anymore, don't hurt anybody, because we're going to wait and see till the next emperor is crowned and see what how he wants to prosecute this war. He may want to do it differently than Nero did. And so we see all of this being played out here as we go down through chapter 9. We see the war. We see the battles between the beasts. We see war descriptions of the war horses and of the people that ride them in verses 9 and 10 and their weapons in verse 10 and then in verse 11. And they had a commander over them. The locust had a commander over them, which is the messenger of the bottomless pit or the shaft of the abyss, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue the name means destroyer. Well, if we look at this, Apollyon is destroyer or destruction. Abaddon is destruction. So we see that this messenger is the messenger of destruction to the land. And in that context, verse 12 says, one war was passed, and behold, there come two wars more hereafter. Okay, so we have now a clear picture of the war that's taking place in the land of Judea between the Jews and the Romans. We have the clear information given in Revelation that the Jews would understand because of the Old Testament apocalyptic-type language there. The various Gentiles that studied with the Jews in their synagogues would also understand that. And they would share this information with others around them. Therefore, the first century audience that actually received this letter would understand this. But we've forgotten so much history. We don't know our history. We don't know our Old Testament. And so we try to decipher the New Testament based on a non-understanding of both the Old Testament and the history of the times, and it just doesn't make any sense to us. But if we take the Old Testament as our guide and then use the developments in history, the understanding of the book of Revelation becomes much, much better. And if we continue on through other books of, other chapters of Revelation where this term abyss or the pit of the abyss, shaft of the abyss shows up, we see this fits consistently with things pertaining to the war that was taking place in Judea and Galilee in the first century A.D.
Of course, Lloyd, as we look, once again, this dovetails perfectly with what Jesus said, of course, in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, when he said to them, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, this should be a hint, because everybody kind of thinks that, well, you know, there was this one great war there in Jerusalem with the destruction of the temple. But that's not what Jesus set it up. They had a much better understanding because he had already warned them.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I heard, in fact, just this morning I heard somebody commenting on this idea. Well, there's wars and rumors of wars going on all the time now. But see, John, there's been wars and rumors of war my whole life. That's 60-some years now. All I've ever heard is wars and rumors of wars. Now, what Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 24 is you are about to hear of wars and rumors of wars. About to hear. Well, the disciples, the young men in their 20s, in that age, were not used to hearing about war. Because the Roman Empire, under Augustus, had brought the Pax Romana, a great peace, time of peace. And from his reign, and through the reign of the next three emperors, this peace remained pretty much intact, and there wasn't any war rumors of wars in the Roman Empire, except for possibly some distant skirmishes on the very fringes of the empire. But Jesus is telling them that they're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, that one nation is going to rise up against another. And of course, it wasn't long after that, less than 40 years, and that's exactly what began to take place. And one of the big wars was this rebellion of the Jews that brought on the war between the Romans and the Jews that ended with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D.
It's fascinating to me how history, when we look at the Bible, because, as you well know, Lloyd, many out there view the book of Revelation as something that is still yet in our future, but they have never taken the time to really look at it. As you're pointing out, when we look at the Olivet Discourse in Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke 21, and so on, we see Jesus set this up. So when we come to the book of Revelation, we should already have an understanding, but this key, the bottomless pit, as you pointed out, in Revelation 9, 11, 17, and 20, really is the key to understanding what's going on.
Well, it is, and I wouldn't go so far as to say it's the only key, but it's a definite key to understanding, especially chapters 9, 11, 17, and 20. And if your understanding of the abyss or the pit of the abyss or the shaft of the abyss is incorrect, then your understanding of 9, 11, 17, and 20 is going to be wrong.
I'm John Anderson. This is The Voice of Reason. Lloyd Dale and I are talking about the bottomless pit. And we're going to take a short break and come back and wrap this hour up right after this. See you on the other side.
Tired of constantly searching for the products you need to lead a naturally healthy lifestyle? No more searching, thanks to EcoViva. EcoViva is your one-stop shop to finding natural and organic products at a reasonable price. Find everything from environmentally friendly, non-toxic cleaning products to natural personal care items. EcoViva also offers a wide variety of organic teas, baby care products, and home air purification. Looking for that special gift? EcoViva has that naturally perfect gift you're looking for. We here at EcoViva always strive to do everything within our means to satisfy our customers. Whoever thought shopping could be good for your health? Visit www.ecoviva.com and shop in our unique online store. That's www.ecoviva.com. Or call 866-680-8484 to learn more. That's 866-680-8484. 8484 for EcoViva.
I used to be ashamed of my toenails. I thought I was destined to wear tennis shoes through the heat of the summer and hide my toes at the beach. And then my podiatrist told me about Non-X Nail Gel. It tackles unsightly nails by clearing out the cause of the problem, yellowing keratin debris buildup. With regular use, Non-X Gel breaks down and removes the debris, so toenails look clear. This summer, I'm wearing open-toed sandals again, thanks to a topical natural gel called Non-X. If your toenails are embarrassing, I recommend Non-X Nail Gel. It's at your pharmacy or mass retailer in the foot care section.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Back to The Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host, coming to you live across America and around the world. It's a pleasure to be with you on this Sunday evening. Lloyd Dale is my guest, and we've been revisiting the bottomless pit, one of the major keys in being able to understand the book of Revelation. And Lloyd, before we wrap this hour up, once again, let people know how to get a hold of you.
All right, they can email me at barldranch@sdplains.com, spelled out all in small case letters. That's B-A-R LDRANCH at SDPLAINS.com. BarLDRange at SDPlains.com. Or they can reach me by telephone by dialing 605-374-3291. And, of course, they should be, understand that I won't be home for a few days now because I'm still in North Carolina.
Lloyd, in kind of closing and bringing this point up, you came to the preterist understanding predominantly through the Old Testament. I came kind of a combination, predominantly through the time statements, but as I had studied much of the Old Testament, it all came together when I started seeing it in a whole different light. Lloyd, this problem that we have today, and we kind of touched on this in the beginning of the program, so many people, very sincere, quote, Christians, are missing so much. What is it going to take, Lloyd, in your own mind, in your own opinion, to get things turned around so that we're actually working on the same page?
Well, it's going to take something incredibly startling, John. You know, we've discussed a time or two, not on the air, but among ourselves and others, that the predominant view in this country was basically the post-millennial view leading up to the First World War. And the First World War kind of shocked that idea because the most post-millennial view is that the church is working in the world and that things are getting better and better and better, and ultimately the church is going to usher in the Golden Age. And then after that Golden Age, the millennium has taken place, the Messiah, Jesus, will come back. And, of course, once this First World War took place, that view was shaken. And not many years later, we had the Second World War. And that view was just pretty much destroyed because people began to question themselves and they begin to doubt that. And of course, at about that same time, another phenomenon occurred. There was a great interest in prophecy and revelation, in part because of the wars that had taken place and other things, and there were certain men such as D.L. Moody and John N. Darby and Cyrus I. Schofield and others that came on the scene that began to teach a strange new view of prophecy and interpretation of the Bible. And it caught on through the work of Moody Bible Institute, and the people that founded Dallas Theological Seminary. And then out of those two institutions grew a whole group of Bible schools and colleges all teaching this same viewpoint. And over the years, it came to absolutely dominate American Christianity. Now, it's not the only view out there, but it's certainly the dominant one. Now, in recent times, there's been somewhat a revival of postmillennialism. There's been more discussion of amillennialism. But the thing that's really changing the face of America in terms of eschatology is this incredible awakening of preterism, covenant eschatology that's taking place. And it's possible it might take another world war, John, to shake people up enough to take a serious look at it.
One thing's for sure, it will certainly prove that the proper understanding of preterism is real. Lloyd, thank you so much for being with us. Folks, I'm John Anderson. This is the Voice of Reason. If this program is a blessing to you, I invite you to help support us. God bless you all. We'll see you next week. So long for now. The idea.